Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book.com. And we also have a new website which we're trying to get up and running. It's Spirit of America Party, a radio show, .com. And what we're going to do is we're going to tie it into Blog Talk Radio. But the easiest way to get us is through Blog Talk Radio. And just look for Spirit of America Party, or SOAP is the abbreviation. I had a beautiful show I put together for you last night, and my computer, my program for making a recording shows crashed. And I have a failsafe which recovers anything that crashes. And it says, you want us to recover what you lost? I said, yes. And I got the last sentence of the show. And you know what? It's always that little extra that you do. I had the whole show down pat. I had it saved, okay? And I just added one line, and that's when it crashed. And when it recovered, it only recovered the one line. And, of course, I do everything spontaneously, so I could never recreate whatever I do. I'm just so unique. The big issue that I was covering was the fact that a banking father from Nigeria went to the State Department in the capital of Nigeria, which is Abuja. And he warned them that his son was a terrorist, and he was worried that his son might blow up a plane going to Detroit, Michigan. Now, he didn't have that much information, but he was concerned because he didn't want to lose his bank. Do you blame him? And he's concerned that his son was radicalized. Well, let me just tell you something. As of tonight, I have eliminated the word radical Muslim. I've dropped the word radical. Because I believe that it's only a matter... We're in a holy war. And the only ones that know it are the Muslims. And so, as of tonight, if you're a Muslim terrorist, I'm definitely emphasizing the fact that you're a Muslim. And I'm tired of being brainwashed by the American government, which has a president that's making concessions to Muslims. And I left out the word terrorist. Because I don't think that all Muslims are terrorists, but all Muslims are Muslims. Give me a break. You want to see, listen, anybody that kills their own people in the name of God, there's something wrong with that religion. That would be like killing everybody in church after the second collection. The Shia are having a little parade. Their holiday is what, Ashura, to celebrate the fact that they didn't protect the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad enough, and he was murdered by the Sunnis. And as punishment for their failure, they lacerate their bodies on this holy day. I don't know what we're going to do, but we are in a holy war, and the only ones that don't know it are the Christians. They refuse to recognize the fact that we're in a holy war. Now, let's just use a few stats. Let me go back to the embassy in Abuja. I have said from day one that we should put an end to these party favors for the party in power to appoint ambassadors, okay, who are just political friends who have donated a ton of money to the party, and they get ambassadorships. As of tomorrow, when I'm president, after the coup d'etat, we're going to have a soft coup d'etat. That means without bloodshed. After we have our soft coup d'etat, I am going to relieve every ambassador in the world of his job, and I'm replacing him with a vet in a wheelchair. Because I want somebody who's in touch with reality. I want somebody who knows the pain of combat. I just saw a GI who went back to Iraq after being mutilated in Iraq. And he visited the war zone that he was in, and he said that there's a lot of progress been made since he had his face burned. And let me tell you something. If you've seen this guy, you would reel back in shock. His face was burned a year ago. He looks like the Phantom of the Opera without the mask. And God bless him, and God give him good life. God give him more joy than any man can experience on earth. Because he paid a terrible price for you and I to sit around and complain about secondhand smoke and global warming. And speaking of global warming, if you have a Greenpeace nut job bugging you at this very moment, throw him out the door with no clothes on. And lock the door. It's 28 degrees out. I guarantee you, in 10 minutes, he will be an advocate for global warming. And in 20 minutes, he'll be blue. And in 30 minutes, he'll be whispering to come in. Yeah, unbelievable global warming. Somebody said yesterday, and it's very true, Wall Street is no longer the banking center of the United States. Washington, D.C. is, and that's where everybody is. They're down there filling their pockets. They had a C-SPAN meeting in Washington, D.C. It was packed. I never saw so many freeloaders in my life. And they're all Greenpeace freeloaders. And the head of Greenpeace was there. He had a green tie on. On St. Paddy's Day, he probably wears an orange one. It's probably the only day he never wears one. He probably can't say Christ. He chokes on the word Christmas. Unbelievable. The communists have taken over the country and we don't know it. We've got 25 years of brainwashing finally coming to fruition. We elected a president, an affirmative action president. I know people that voted for him because they feel guilty about slavery. They were made to feel guilty about slavery by the communists, because a guilty American is a controllable American. And what's NBC doing tonight? They're attacking the Ku Klux Klan, the greatest threat to American security. The Ku Klux Klan. NBC should be moved to Minnesota, because that's where all the crazies are. NBC should be moved to Minnesota, and or what they can do is go to that new maximum security nursing home in Illinois that the Gitmo detainees are going to be in, along with senior citizens. Are we in trouble? We are in trouble. The president, they wouldn't wake him up to tell him that the plane nearly got blown out of the sky and 280 Americans got killed. Nearly got killed. They wouldn't wake him up. They didn't want to disturb him. It was like the Germans not wanting to wake up Hitler on D-Day. Let him sleep. The Americans are hitting the beaches. Let him sleep. It's the same thing. We're in a holy war, and this president refuses to acknowledge it. Then they gave him 3 hours. They woke him up right away for the Nobel Peace Prize. They said, you got to get up right away. They just got the Nobel Peace Prize. But a guy nearly blew out of the sky 280 people with their luggage. And they said, let him sleep. And he slept for 3 days. 72 hours later, he came out and commented. And he gave a nice speech, and he did it without the teleprompter. He said, we're going to fight terrorism. And as soon as he said that, the Iranians invaded Iraq. And he sent in John Kerry to negotiate with the Iranians. Well, let's see. The last time John Kerry was wearing an American uniform, he was in North Vietnam, or he was in Paris. Yeah, he was in Paris. He was unauthorized as an American soldier. He was unauthorized, but he negotiated with Lee Duc Tho, and he got he came home with a prize. He came home with the Jane Fonda spittoon, the brass one, which in Vietnam is known as the Hoc Tui. And that now John Kerry is going to negotiate the surrender of the United States. I wonder if he's got Walter Cronkite's playbook. Was the Detroit bomber, was that the Tet Offensive? Is the war lost? I just saved that segment that we just recorded. So I know that if this thing crashes on me, at least I've got that much saved. Last night they had on Karl Rove. And they asked Karl Rove, what did he think about the Obama administration blaming the Bush administration for the lack of protection that is now obvious to the American people. And Karl Rove said, this guy has been in office for a year. He had no reservations about doing anything to improve the security of the United States. He thought it was adequate. And now, all of a sudden, he got caught with his golf pants down, and he's reaching back to Bush. Okay, after a year in office, he's reaching back to blame Bush. And Carl said it's ludicrous. So, and Carl is right. And Carl also said that they gave this terrorist, they're treating him like a criminal, and they're giving him time to have the ACLU lawyer him up and not answer any interrogation questions, when we should know how he got from Nigeria to Amsterdam, who gave him the money, who his contacts were, who set him up, okay, and who in the State Department authorized him to come to the United States. Who in Abuja dropped the ball, because that's where the ball got dropped first. When a prominent banker in a bank that was one of the few Nigerian banks that did not fail, when a well-respected, as a matter of fact, they classified his family as the Kennedy family of Nigeria. And I asked the question, what are they, all drunks and they drown women? But his father went to the right place. He didn't go to the Nigerian embassy. He went to the American embassy. He went right to the source of intelligence, okay? And somebody at that embassy in Abuja dropped the ball. Now, the guy was on a no-fly list, okay? And it turns out there's two no-fly lists, and when they asked Janet Napolitano about it, she said, yeah, isn't that the one where they have one list for everybody that wears a Rolex and another list for everybody that wears a Timex? That's the terrorist watch list. Yeah, we're all in trouble. Janet Napolitano should resign right away for the safety of the American people. The woman has to go. And remember what the Democrats did when Bush first came into office. The first thing they did was they made a beeline to destroy Bush's top team. They demanded John Ashcroft's resignation. They accused Bush of seizing power using the Patriot Act. Now, it also turns out in the airport in Amsterdam, they have 17 body scanners. But they're only being used by the Europeans. We don't have one. But they have 17 machines in the airport that could check people out, and we don't have one. Well, what does that tell you? Now, I'm also listening to a guy who happened to be on that flight with with that other guy, and I don't know the whole story about the Flying Dutchman, but from what I hear, he was overpowered by a Dutch guy who took action immediately. And if that's the case, the Flying Dutchman is the hero of that flight, and anybody who helped him. And Janet Napolitano said that the passengers on the flight were trained especially by the Obama administration, because they're part of the new army that's going to be bigger than the U.S. military. Yeah. Are we in trouble or what? The passengers did their duty. But as punishment for being a passenger on that flight, you can't do khaki duty at 1 hour before landing, and you can have no blanket or no pillow. How's that? And I thought they were just going to cut out the peanuts. Yeah. Do we get a deduction on the flight rate? No toilet articles. Why not? Why don't you just put a meter in there and tax them? You're taxing everything else. Don't get me started on taxes. The biggest ripoff in America, Americans have been screwed right into the ground. First, you've been brainwashed for 25 years. You don't even know what it takes to be an American anymore. Okay? You've lost your LLP, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness. We murder 1,400,000 kids a year. We got 1 out of 5 Americans is a junkie. You don't think communism is succeeding in the United States? They've already walked into the House, the Senate, and the presidency. They've got it all sewn up. You think they're going to give it back? They don't even give you back your tax money. What makes you think they're going to give you back your government? Hang in there. Let me gather my thoughts. And if you don't think we're in a holy war, just ask yourself. When were the Israelis hit the last time there was a big Muslim offensive? Yom Kippur? Huh? Oh. How about this Christmas attack? This was Christmas Day. This guy was bringing his plane down to Michigan. They don't even bother. They fly over New York now. When they talk about cutting the throats of Americans, what do they say? We're going to kill the Americans? No. And they say we're going to kill the Crusaders and the infidels. It's a holy war. You're in a holy war. Now, so far, Bin Laden has trained 900,000 al-Qaeda since the Clinton Towers almost went down in 1993. Okay? And Bill Clinton retaliated. He ordered a pizza to be delivered to the Oval Office and got a harmonica lesson. Yeah. There's a song out that little kids sing about President Pinocchio Pants. Yeah, he told the world he launched a missile at the Osamas, but the paraffin test only turned up in his pajamas. Yeah, odds are he'll be on NBC tomorrow. He's a secret agent. George Bush got hit by al-Qaeda on September the 11th. He was sitting in a children's school on 911, and three planes that we know about, okay? Two planes went into the World Trade Towers. One plane went into the Pentagon. They didn't even have a BB gun up there to shoot back. Okay, that's the Pentagon, all right? That's the guys that appropriate billions of dollars for defense and offense. And they didn't have one Stinger missile, but you can go to any cave in Kandahar, Kabul, or Coast, and every kid has got a Stinger missile. But they didn't have one. And do you know that Fiorello LaGuardia, when he was mayor of New York City, had machine guns on rooftops during World War II? Did you know that? And we didn't have nothing. Matter of fact, the two planes that were dispatched from Washington, D.C. to come up and protect in New York flew out over the ocean and waited for further orders, and they were unarmed. No plane came to intercept the plane heading to the Pentagon. No plane came to intercept the plane that turned upside down in Shanksville, PA. when the passengers are fought back, okay, and set an example for other passengers to do the same thing, okay? And on two occasions now, Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, that's the son of Harry Reed, who's passing this health care plan, okay? You can see they're identical. If you look at them, they both look the same. The father looks more like the son than the son looks like the father. You got Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, and you've got this guy, Malula Balula, who set himself on fire. And, of course, the good news is he burned his body, and he's the first illegal alien to be treated under the new health care plan. Are we in trouble? And what's with Detroit, the new Mecca for Muslim terrorists, or just Muslims? Do the terrorists go there too? How's that? And he was going to blow it up over Detroit. How would you like to be sitting in that house? You know what happened to the people in Lockerbie when that Pan Am flight was blown up and put out of business? You see, they get a twofer. When they take the plane out of the sky, they also close that business. Pan Am's out of business. TWA's out of business. They were hijacked, remember? Do you remember the Navy sailor that was beaten in the plane and then shot in the back of the head and thrown out on the tarmac? His name was Stethem. Do you remember him? No. He's yesterday's news. Do you remember the body that was fished out of the Tigris River that belonged to Corporal Anzac, who was tortured, and the media, the American media, wouldn't show the torture on his body? But they'll show you a street bomber with the panties on his head being barked at by a bowsy wowsy and call that an atrocity and demand that the UN come in and set up shop in the United States and that all American troops should be tried in The Hague. Yeah, you got your media has sold you out. Pravda and Izvestia have nothing on this media. They can't shine their shoes. Hang in there. I got low disk space. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, having just learned that Iran has opened 10 new nuclear facilities, invaded Iraq and seized oil wells that pump 1 million barrels a day, and now, with this latest episode and the almost hijacked plane blown out of the sky by a guy wearing C4 underwear, the president has decided to address two issues with the American people tonight. And he is going to take time away from his golf game and advise us on why he doesn't have a birth certificate and what he's going to do about the war, in an upcoming war with Iran. How did you like that? And that's without a teleprompter. Can you take that for 3 more years? Do you have a rubber mallet you'd like to hit yourself in the head with? Aren't you glad that you voted the Peace Party in? Have they given you an exit date for Yemen yet? Have they given you an exit date for the coastal cities of Bandar Abbas and Bushehr in Iran? Have they given you an exit date for the offshore oil wells off the coast of Iran that have to be seized? No, you're just a spectator. You're like one of the Romans at the Colosseum. You want your country back? It's going to cost you. Let me give you the other president of the United States. I'm cutting it short before the bomb goes off. I have to make a phone call, and then we're going to talk. I have to call Crown Prince Abdullah in Saudi Arabia. So hang in. If you want to listen in on the conversation, you're most welcome. A collect call of to Crown Prince Abdullah from the President of the United States. Hello, Crown Prince. How you doing? Listen, buddy, I got some bad news. I got some bad news for you. No good news, only bad news. We have a problem. What's happened is some crazy terrorists, American terrorists, have seized four B-2 bombers loaded with nuclear bombs. They call themselves the 911 Avengers, and they're heading towards Saudi Arabia. As a matter of fact, hold on a second, and I'll give you the names of the cities. I put my hand over the phone. Hey, what cities are we bombing first? Looks like it's going to be Riyadh, Jubail, Mecca, and Medina. Hello, Prince, are you there? That noise? Let me see. Oh, that's them. They're on the way. Call me back. Okay, my friends, my fellow Americans, it's time to take our country back. And here's what we're doing. Here's the party platform. The first thing we're going to do is close the borders. We're moving the 69,000 troopers at Fort Hood, and we're putting them on the borders, and they can now start filling out applications for visas for nice Mexican people who want to come here and work. We want as many good, hard-working Mexicans as we can get, because they start at 6 o'clock in the morning, where the average American doesn't get out of bed till 11. And not only that, they're family people and they're religious people. They're hard-working and they cause no trouble. We do not want the criminals. We only want the hard-working Mexican families. And so they can now go to the border and walk into any armored personnel carrier, and a U.S. military official will help them fill out their application. And we have many Spanish-speaking military personnel. As a matter of fact, look for the Marines, because the Marine Corps is full of a lot of Z people. And just so you know, when it comes to the Z people, they are very patriotic, and they're very American, and they're very dedicated. And never forget, there were Texicanos at the Alamo. And you should also know that there are 14 guys named Gonzalez who died in Iraq and Afghanistan during this holy war against the Christians and the Jews. The infidels, as we are called. Okay? So you should know that the Z people are qualified, they can speak Spanish, and they can help you fill out the applications. So now that I've solved the border problem, I am going to give you more good news. I intend to balance the budget by December the 24th of 2010. The budget will be completely balanced. And that'll be my Christmas present to you, the American people, because you deserve more than you are getting now. And we're going to put an end to high taxes. It is time that the government got a job. And the only agency that I will support 1,000% is the U.S. military, but some of them have to lose weight. We got too many fatties in the military lately. Every time I see some of these infantrymen and women running around, they either look pregnant or they just came out of a Dunkin' Donuts. It's time to trim up. Don't tell me you're in the infantry and you're 200 pounds overweight. You got to go and look at the pictures of World War II, and especially the Pacific, and see those guys with their shirts off. And that's what you should look like. Never mind this Joe Weider looking and taking steroids. We don't need steroids. We need heart pump-up pills. We need spirit pump-up pills. So, here is the party platform. You're going to like this. We're going to bring the price of oil from $10 a barrel down to $9.11 a barrel. And that will take the jihad tax from the Muslims who are supporting the holy war. What else are we going to do? We're going to turn all the abortion clinics into daycare centers. If you don't want the kid, leave the kid. We'll take care of the kid. You don't have to kill your kids anymore. It's not a form of birth control. So, only daycare centers, no more abortion clinics. You don't want the kid, leave the kid. We'll take care of the kid. I want a better treatment for American Indian tribes. And we'll start off by swapping some of that crap land that we gave them, and we'll give them a prime real estate in New York City. And we'll have a profit-sharing program. As a matter of fact, we'll sell it to them for $24 worth of trinkets. A better treatment for poor American Indian tribes. Okay, we're going to increase the income for police and military. And we're going to have a $2 million combat zone death benefit and $1 million per loss of each limb and vital organ. And I'll tell you why. I talked to my accountant, and my accountant says JDAMs only cost $650,000. Why waste an American life that costs $2 million? Now, that makes sense to me. An immigration slowdown, I told you we're going to regain control of the flow. And definitely, you should also know, I've canceled this Democrat plot to take away blankets and pillows from airline passengers. However, anybody with a Muslim name cannot get off the plane for 2 hours until after the plane lands. And not only that, they have to sit with their hands on their head. Immigration slowdown until we regain the flow. Complete elimination of drugs in the USA, and we're going to do Operation Cold Turkey, and that is we will execute anybody smoking marijuana, and then I guarantee you with the death penalty for marijuana smoking, in 3 weeks, we will have the cleanest nation in the world. Oh, we're going to lose a lot of friends and relatives, some fathers and mothers, but we're going to be drug-free. We're also going to hire our own first. We're going to definitely hire Indian tribes to patrol the borders. But this time we're not paying for scalps. We're only going to pay for beards. I'm outlawing beards. I don't like to see people starting to look like they're from the Middle East because they want to blend in when we lose. A full tax deduction for religious education. If you're paying for a kid in private school, you get the same benefit as if you paid for that kid in a public school. A one-year draft for all at age 19. And to all you 19-year-olds out there, I'd like to say happy birthday to you. A down payment guaranteed loan, $100,000 for home building. Oh, let me tell you what else I'm going to do. The highest interest rate that can be charged by a bank for anything, including credit cards, is 5%. The banks are getting money for zero. 5% is a nice profit. Nothing over 5%. And not only that, but if you bought a home, and you have a small down payment, and the bank is going to take interest only for the first 7 years of all your mortgage payments. We're going to tell the bank they can't do that anymore. They have to split it with you. So in the first year of owning your home, whatever equity you had, you can now add more equity instead of waiting 7 years to put the first dollar on the equity in the house. The banks will no longer get paid upfront interest only and get paid in the first 7 years. The banks are your partner, and they're going to have to take their interest on the back end just like you have to. Okay? You're going to have equity in your house from day one, and you're going to add equity to your house every day of the week, every year, every month of the year, and every year until your mortgage is paid for. We're also going to allow anyone who served in the military a free upfront seat in any American university, especially Harvard, Yale, and Columbia. And not only that, we will pay a $10,000 bonus if you throw the professor out the window, providing it's no higher than one story. We don't want to hurt anybody. And we're going to take care of our own full-time. We're not going to buy any more friends. Anybody that's got their hand out is going to get a handshake. All foreign language stations must have English subtitles. When I'm watching Channel 47 or Telemundo, I want to be able to see that good news in English. We want basic foreign language training for all military personnel. Right now, there's a crash course in Farsi because we're going to Iran. And if you don't think we're not going to Iran, you don't see this holy war extending itself out 50 to 100 years. I met a guy who served with Patton. He was 38 miles outside of Berlin when Roosevelt stopped the Americans. And they had to wait 3 months for the Russians to catch up. And he told me, if we have to be in Iraq for 100 years, so be it. So that's my policy. If you don't want us there, leave us alone. Free binoculars for everybody on the East Coast and a profiling chart. All media has to display the flag and play the Star Spangled Banner once a day, just like in your grandfather's time, when the test pattern was an American Indian and you got to see the American flag, listen to the Star Spangled Banner, and watch our valiant troops flash across the screen. And that goes for CNN and Marine Killing NBC. And it definitely goes for PBS. The Pledge of Allegiance has to be said in all workplaces, events, schools, and rock concerts. And Mickey Jagger can only sing in prune commercials. The Pledge of Allegiance has to begin with in the name of the Father. The Great White Father in Washington could have a nice tan. If you offend anybody under First Amendment pretenses, you must wear size 29 clown shoes forever, including bed. All politicians have to take a lie detector test immediately before and after campaign speeches. We're going to bring back the two-party system. It'll be a conservative light and ultra-conservative heavy. One term only for all politicians. Really serve your country. Minimum wage. No overtime. The kid that's bagging the fries in McDonald's will make more than you. We will keep the trillions. We'll have whatever insurance plan we have, you will have the same one. You will get no special treatment. One American, one vote, even though I believe the military should count as 10. And a $1 champagne contribution is the maximum amount of money any major corporation can spend to get a flunky elected. And we will be known as the party's over party. I hope you enjoyed that, and you could add your own wish to my wish list. And it will be considered. You got your voice back. You might even end up being a ventriloquist. Please rise, and we will sing the second national anthem. Make that the third national anthem, because the second is the battle hymn of the Republic. It was almost the first one. As we sing the third national anthem, everybody who's in office can now pick up their things and leave.
The party's over. It's time to call it a day. They've burst your pretty balloon and taken the mood away. It's time to wind up. The masquerade. Just make your mind up. The piper must be paid. The party's over. The candles flicker and dim. You danced and dreamed through the night. It seemed to be right just being with him. Now you must wake up. All dreams must end. Take off your makeup. The party's over. It's all over, my friend. The party's over. It's time to call it a day. Now you must wake up. All dreams must end. Take off your makeup. The party's over. It's all over, my friend. It's all over, my friend.
Hang in here, folks. We got 18 minutes left. May give you a little taste of Terror Taxes. Let's see how this goes.
Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book and radio show. I'm going to open with a little story about Bunker Hill, and then we're going to jump right into total vulnerability of the United States due to the lack of preparedness on the part of the Obama administration as they tear down the defenses of the United States. Hang in there. Let me give you the Bunker Hill opening. I was watching the History Channel. They were talking about the Battle of Breed's Hill, which is Bunker Hill, commonly known as Bunker Hill, and how a handful of Americans held off the magnificent British Army in three assault charges on that hill. And they said that one of the heroes of the American Revolution, I think the guy's name was Warren, he died there. He was a doctor. And he stayed behind to slow down the British advance after the Continental Army ran out of musket balls and they had to break and run. And he stayed behind, and they put a bullet in the back of his head, and they threw him in a grave with another rebel. And he was treated with disdain by the vanquishing British Army, and no respect. But anyway, their biggest complaint at the British Army was that the rebels were shooting at the officers. And that was not according to the rules that they set for engagement. And the Brits were totally surprised that their officer corps got demolished that day. And they had a 40% casualty rate taking Bunker Hill or Breed's Hill. And one of the British officer that led the charge, his name was Major Pitcairn, and he died in the arms of his son. And I flashed back to when I was in about the third grade, and we reenacted. I went to a God and Country
Catholic discipline school. That's when the nuns had the clickers, you know, the clickers. Every time they hit the clicker, you had to genuflect. And you ever see 600 kids all genuflect on one click? And you know what? They took that from World War II because the nuns gave them to the paratroopers when they landed in Normandy. And every time somebody hit the clicker, all the paratroopers would genuflect. And the bullets would fly overhead. And they were saved. But I was elected to be Major Pitcairn in my third grade class in the reenactment of Bunker Hill. And they took the desks and they made like a little fort. And I had one line in the portrayal, and that was, "Disperse, ye rebels, disperse." So here I go. I come up to the front line, and the nun and the rest of the class are playing the rebels, and I gave my one line, "Disperse, ye rebels, disperse." And the whole class jumped on me, including the nun, and they all beat me up. And that was I never played a British officer after that. So now hang in there, we'll give you a few chuckles.
I'm watching a YouTube a clip somebody sent me. I thought it was funny. It was a couple of college guys, and they made a Bunker Hill episode, and they all you see are the British officers, and they're talking to, you can't see the rebel that they're talking to, and the British officer is saying, "Now here are the rules of engagement. We'll fire one volley, and then you'll fire a one volley," and you hear bang, and one of the Brits goes down, and he goes, "That's not right. That's not the way we agreed. Now, for that, we're going to get to fire two volleys, bang!" And another Brit goes down. And I thought it was funny. It really cracked me up. It was typical American reaction. Oh, yeah, we're going to play by the rules. Hang in there. I'll give you a tune, and when I come back, we're going to talk about the total vulnerability of the United States and why the Muslims like to attack us on Jewish holidays and Christian holidays.
What good is music? What good is melody? If it ain't possessing something sweet. It ain't the music, it ain't the melody. There's something else that makes that tune complete. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, 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 do what. It don't mean a thing, all you gotta do is sing. I do what, 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 do what. Makes no difference if it's sweet or hard. You just give that rhythm everything you've got. Well, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Do what, 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 do what. If it's sweet or hard, you just get that rhythm, everything you've got. Well, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, 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 do what. I do what, 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 do what. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
So the other day, over Detroit, a guy got up on a plane of 273 passengers, and he went into the bathroom, and he fused himself. He was going to become a human bomb. And guess what? He got to pick the seat that he wanted on the flight coming over. And, you know, one of my jokes is the West Nile virus, did it change planes in Amsterdam or did it change planes in London before it came to the United States from Africa? And this guy came from Nigeria, and he boarded a plane from Amsterdam, and he had a British passport. And it turns out that if you have a British passport, you automatically have access to the United States. How's that? You see all those Muslims that are going crazy over there? They want to behead the Queen and make Buckingham Palace a mosque. And they all have British passports. So how are we going to stop this hajj, this death hajj into the United States? So here on one of the busiest days, you got a guy, he's in the bathroom for almost an hour, putting on his C4. He's powdering his nose with gunpowder. And he comes out, and he's sitting directly over the largest fuel tank on the plane. Those 273 people are more lucky than the ones that landed in the Hudson River. And if you notice, it took the passengers, once again, the passengers had to subdue this guy, just like the other passengers that subdued Harry Reid's son, Richard Reid, the shoe bomber. If you notice, they both look identical, Harry Reid and Richard Reid. You can see he's a spitting image of his father. Yeah. And so they subdued this terrorist, Muslim terrorist from Muslim land. And I'm tired of giving these guys a pass. 900,000 Al-Qaeda have graduated from the Clinton training camps, okay, since 1993. And, by the way, we're sending John Kerry to negotiate with the Iranians. How's that? Huh? Hanoi John is going to negotiate with the Iranians. Obama extended an olive branch, and they announced that the holy city of Qom now has a holy nuclear facility. And so Obama re-extended the olive branch, and the next day they announced 10 new nuclear facilities. But Obama's not going to be deterred. He's going to kill them with love. So he says, I'm sending John Kerry, and I'm extending the olive branch once again. And they said, we're invading Iraq, and we already are in Iraq, and we've taken over the oil fields that pump 1 million barrels a day. And that's going to add to our expenses to help us defray the cost of building 20 new nuclear facilities. And John Kerry is going there to sign the documents of surrender. He's going to make believe it's Hanoi all over again. Yeah, but don't worry, we're in good hands. The Secretary of Interior, Homeland Defense, Janet Napolitano, said that the passengers did the right thing, and they did exactly as they were trained to do by the Obama administration. They're part of the new civilian army that's going to be larger than the American military. Oh, man. You know what the Arab word for screwed up is? Fouked. And we are all a fouked. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. We are all up the fat lady's burqa. In the meantime, the poor Iranians that have been slaves to this nuclear tax that takes their every living dollar, every working dollar, have revolted. 3 months ago, they stood up and said, enough is enough. Get rid of Ahmadinejad. And instead, they got bullets as an answer. And a girl took a bullet in the chest. She was a peaceful demonstrator, and they gave her a piece right back. They killed her. And then when they wanted to hold a service at the parents' family home, they were denied access to it. And the police beat up anybody that wanted to pay their respects.
And now the police are arresting students, not the ones that they beat in their sleep in the university dorms. That's a different program. Not the ones that they hang off the back of tow trucks for too much lipstick. That's a different program. Now they're beating them up and throwing them in the back, in the trunk of the police car, before they take them to the prison and rape them. And it doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl, you get raped anyway. Yeah, they're equal opportunity destroyers. How's that? So for 3 months now, the Iranian Revolution has been taking place, and the NBC media has been covering it up. There is a blackout on any news, any screams for help coming from Iran. And those students are on their own. And God help them. And should they be lucky enough to overthrow the Iranian government, Obama will take credit for it. Yeah, but it's... And Bush could have done it, but he didn't do it. Bush could have overthrown the Iranians while he spent all that time in Iraq. All he had to do was broadcast in Farsi. And he didn't do it. He appointed a couple of jerks. They took his money, and they didn't do anything. They were probably broadcasting pro-Ahmadinejad speeches, and we didn't know the difference. We have enough trouble teaching English here. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking of teaching English with a foreign accent so that the few Americans that are left can blend in their own country. Yeah, so I may be offering courses on how to speak English with a foreign accent. Hello, I love this country. Everything free. I have 9 social security numbers. See, and you can blend right in instead of talking like this. Hang in there, and we'll come back to this this war on terror. Remember when we took the first hit in 1993, and Al-Qaeda said, we'll collapse the 2 World Trade Center buildings, and it'll be like a domino effect, all the buildings in the area will collapse. And they went and rented a truckload of explosives, and they drove it into the basement in 1993, during the reign of President Pinocchio Pants in the greatest economy since Scrooge McDuck. Yeah. And the president was getting harmonica lessons in the Oval Office. And we elevated him to a higher authority, on the same level as the god of the people who opposed Moses, the golden calf worshippers. You know them as Hollywood. Yeah, and the Oscars. They melted down the golden calf and they made little Oscar statuettes. That's a bald-headed guy with no private parts. You know, the god of Hollywood. Anyway, so President Pinocchio Pants, he encouraged Al-Qaeda to come kill us. And they failed, and we all laughed at them for the shoddy failure. And when they were bringing one of the terrorists to New York for trial, they happened to pass over the World Trade Center when it was still standing, and one of the FBI agents said to whoever it was, he said, look, it's still standing, and the guy turned to him and said, not for long. How's that? That guy was a prophet. He was a prophet. And speaking of prophets, when oil goes to $9.11 a barrel, you will have put a dent in Al-Qaeda fundraising. Okay? Everything above $9.11 a barrel of oil is jihad tax. You're paying for your own demise. That's a jihad tax. So anyway, this Nigerian banker has a son who joins a radical Islamic group. How can you tell the difference? You can't. You can't. They all say the same thing. They all have the same playbook. It's hard to tell the good guys from the bad guys. The only one that knows the good guys from the bad guys is a jerk congressman I think his name is Driscoll. He's from New Jersey. He was on TV today, and he was saying that these guys that are blowing us up, they are radicals, and they are not following the teachings of the Holy Quran. Now, let me tell you something. I don't even think this guy ever read a comic book, let alone the Torah or the Bible, but he's an expert on the Holy Quran. Did he ever get to the page where it says the 20% of all booty taking in conquest goes to the Imam? Did he get to that page yet? Jerk! Stick to what you know. Nothing. And get out. Get out of office. Take your crap and get out. You're fired. The Holy Quran. He's an expert on the Holy Quran. The last time I saw an expert on the Holy Quran, his name was Hevesy. He was running for mayor. And it was right after 9-1-1. And he wanted to calm the people down so they didn't lynch anybody that wore a turban. So he turned and he said, we have to protect the sheikhs. Because the sheikhs drive taxi cabs in New York. And they are good people. Now, first off, the sheikhs don't drive taxi cabs. Sikhs drive taxi cabs. The Sikhs are not Muslims. As a matter of fact, Muslims believe that Sikhs will not cut their hair till the last Muslim in the world is dead. I don't think they get along. Okay? But Alan Hevesy, he knows that sheikhs are driving taxi cabs. The last time I saw a sheikh, he was sitting in the back of a limousine with five girls, and they were shaking cocktails. And he was on a Hajj to Manhattan. Unbelievable, man. We got fooled.